Hi, welcome to Stop, Start, Continue, a reconciliation of the pharmacy industry sponsored by The Medical Memory. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to providing you with quick thoughts from leaders across pharmacy to improve outcomes for patients. Make sure you follow us on LinkedIn and listen to Stop, Start, Continue wherever you get your podcast right now. In each episode, we're going to talk with top pharmacy thinkers and delve into what they feel needs to stop, what needs to start happening, and what needs to continue as to be best practices from their point of view. You'll hear from industry leaders from all practice sites, from retail to health systems, FQHCs to specialty pharmacy, noted regulatory experts, and patient safety advocates. We'll get their thoughts on what is driving pharmacy forward and what is holding us back from even greater heights. My name is John McMillan. For the past 20 years, I've been supporting pharmacy practice for inpatient, remote, retail, specialty pharmacies across different practice settings, health systems, FQHCs, retail independents, and specialty pharmacies. My co-host is Julie from The Medical Memory. It's a video education program that elevates the patient experience, increases medication adherence, and drives better patient outcomes. Here, and we'll say, we're recording now, so we'll go, okay. Hi, I'm John McMillan. Joining us today is Jill Paillet, CEO of Paillet Consulting. Jill, happy to have you on the conversation today. So could you give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course.
My background is in specialty pharmacy. So I've worked in specialty pharmacy since 2007. Great. Started as a technician, then an intern, then a pharmacist for about 10 years. Okay. I worked as in a health system specialty pharmacy. And then I completed the ISMP Medication Safety Management Fellowship on the East Coast, doing med safety. And then now I do consulting, both with my own LLC and then also with Integral Healthcare Solutions. So I'm doing accreditation and medication safety, mostly in the context of specialty pharmacy and some mail order as well.
Wow, it's impressive background, and I've always been very impressed in our conversations. So happy to have you here. And you know, with that background, and what's something that we need to stop doing, you know, in pharmacy to help, you know, improve patient outcomes and move the practice forward?
Yeah, so I want to talk about the topic of medication error surveillance. Okay. So let me just give a little background on that, and then I'll move into what I recommend we stop.
Okay.
So medication error surveillance can also be called medication error monitoring, and it's the process that healthcare administrators actively screen for events that may indicate that a medication error has occurred.
Right. Okay.
So it's about proactively monitoring, identifying potential incidents, and ensuring patient safety throughout that medication use process. And it can be done in the hospital setting or community pharmacy setting.
Great. Yeah. And with so many medications coming onto the market and so many being prescribed, you know, that it's really important. So what do you recommend we stop doing in that space to kind of help the practice?
Yeah. So I recommend that we stop passively waiting to find out about errors that have occurred.
Great.
Whether you like it or not, errors are probably happening, especially if there's any sort of human interaction or influence on the medication use process, because two errors are human. And so some pharmacies and health systems do not have an active medication error surveillance program, but instead they just kind of wait to find out about errors.
Okay.
If it calls it to say they got the wrong medication or if an error is discovered by accident.
Right. Yeah. So really it's the patient has to kind of report that something is missing or something happened. Right.
Yeah.
So we want to stop, you know, being passive in monitoring. So if we're stopping that, what should we start doing to help this whole process get better?
Yeah. So I'm going to recommend, if you're not already, that you start by developing and implementing a robust medication error surveillance program.
Okay.
So I can give some background, some of the benefits and some examples.
Sure. Yeah, surveillance makes me think of Starsky and Hutch. So tell us what it means in this context.
Yeah, sure. So some of the benefits of a surveillance program would be early detection of medication errors. So you're more likely to catch events early if you're actually monitoring for them. And if an error does occur, you can actually intervene early to prevent patient harm, which is really our true reason why we're doing this.
Sure.
Another benefit is continuous improvement, just fostering that culture of ongoing quality and safety improvement, identifying root causes to prevent errors in the future, and then most importantly, just enhancing patient safety by contributing to a safer healthcare environment and medication experience for the patient.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So moving from that passive, well, I guess if somebody tells us there's a problem, to, you know, proactively going in and trying to identify those, and maybe we catch it before there's any patient harm or anything else that happens.
I mean, yeah, so, exactly.
Right. So is it that active monitoring really, you know, encompasses a lot of data analysis and really digging into it. So, you know, with that in mind, what's something that we're currently doing right that we should really keep doing, right, to kind of build on, you know, getting away from passive and moving toward an active role?
So I do want to share on that. Before I go into details of what we're currently doing, I want to give a couple of examples of how to actually implement surveillance activities as far as part of that start step, if you're not already doing these. Some examples of surveillance activities would include double checks, auditing and monitoring for adverse drug events or triggers, and then patient counseling. So I can give some detailed examples of those. So for double checks, I wanted to give an example. So in Minnesota, the Board of Pharmacy requires prescriptions to have a quality assurance double check within a certain time frame of dispensing. So this is actually a form of medication error surveillance. You're checking every single prescription to see if an error has occurred. So I'm not necessarily saying that all pharmacies in all states should be doing this, but I wanted to just share that as an example. And if your state doesn't already mandate double checks, you can still consider when a double check process might be beneficial.
Sure. That makes sense. So maybe in like where you're doing high risk, or, you know, patients that really are susceptible to, you know, issues or dosing, that would be a good place to have that. And are those double checks, are those performed by pharmacists or anybody in the pharmacy, or how's that work?
Yeah, I mean, you can design your program however you think would be most helpful, probably depending on what error you're trying to target and prevent, and where that double check might happen. One example that you mentioned would be like those high alert and high risk medications. Some examples would be maybe medications that you know that you've had errors in the past. Maybe you want to target those for your double checks.
Sure.
Or high alert medications, which according to the ISMP definition, those are drugs that don't necessarily cause more errors or have more errors happen, but when an error does occur, it's more likely to cause significant patient harm. So you might want to target those. Those would be like chemotherapy agents or insulins. ISMP has a full list and information about those online.
Okay, great. Yeah, so checking that out. Yeah, so if you have an error with these, with some medications, it may not be as an acute of an issue, but others, you certainly want to stay on top of that, right?
Exactly.
So, okay.
Yeah. In addition to like the double check process, you could also do auditing. So this would be more like auditing a certain percentage of prescriptions, or a random audit or a targeted audit, you know, kind of deciding that.
Great. So again, you could kind of use that ISMP list to say these are the ones we want to go after, and really take a deep dive into it and really help drive that whole process. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Great.
So one other type of surveillance would be monitoring for adverse events or other triggers. So I can give examples of those.
Yeah.
This is when you're tracking patient outcomes to identify potential issues.
Okay.
So you could track for adverse drug events, any unintended harmful events related to the medication use.
Okay.
You can track for unexpected changes to a patient's vital signs that could be linked to a medication administration. So for example, respiratory depression might be a sign of an overdose or possible medication error with an opioid. So that's a trigger that you can monitor for. Cool. Another trigger would be readmission rates or increased length of stay that could be related to medication use.
Right.
Laboratory abnormalities that are unexpected and could be related to medication, like increased INR, could indicate that maybe the recent warfarin dose was too high. And then other triggers would be like patient complaints, if the patient is reporting unusual symptoms or concerns. And then also the use of reversal agents. So whenever you're administering medications to counteract another medication, maybe that first medication had an error. So those are just some triggers that you look for.
And it feels like a lot of those, what you're talking about, could just be, well, the blood pressure is up, or, you know, it's just some people metabolize medications differently, but it may be a sign of a wider issue. So I think that's great advice, and really, you know, going in and monitoring, especially. So how would you work that with folks that are discharged from, like, they're in home, you know, they're not in a clinical setting? How would you kind of help with that?
Yeah, so for medication error surveillance, my last point was actually about patient counseling. So how we can loop patients into the surveillance activity. So you can engage them just by educating them on what to expect from their medication, what's normal, what's not normal, and how they might report suspected medication errors.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of great tools. I know medical memory, you know, with some of the videos we can put out there of here's what to expect. And, you know, here's if you're having those adverse events or side effects that don't seem right, you can communicate back with your pharmacist, because that's really that first line and kind of the best line of defense. Or, you know, there might be an issue that's happening. Right. So great. So with that in place, I mean, so being able to monitor, you know, some of those events and dig deeper into the data, you know, are we doing anything like that now? Is there something that you know, currently we're putting in place that makes that better or easier? Or, you know, what's something we're doing right now?
Yeah. So I wanted to point out one thing that health systems can continue. So I want to encourage you guys to continue tracking errors and investigating causes of errors that can, you know, implement so you can implement improvement activities. So keeping those open channels for professionals and patients to report errors, ensuring a just culture and a non-punitive culture for those who make and report errors. I'll also say that a lot of health systems and pharmacies have great technology-based monitoring systems, and they're tracking errors and maybe digging into root cause analysis or other systematic processes. And implementing high leverage strategies. So that's awesome. And then one other last thing I wanted to mention is that if you do enhance your medication error surveillance activities, you may actually see an increase in reported medication errors.
Right.
So this is not a bad thing. In fact, it's probably a good thing because you're identifying more errors that otherwise would have gone unnoticed.
Okay.
And sometimes the error reporting rate can actually be a positive indicator of safety culture. So the important thing is not how many error reports you have, but what you do with those reports to learn from them and to implement strategies to reduce the risk of error and patient harm in the future.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right? And so if you're really focused on this, you know, you're gonna identify a lot more issues and going back to your kind of advice earlier is if you're tracking these things, that kind of what gets measured gets improved, right? And so what gets identified, you know, can get corrected and so. You know, seeing those rates come in and really identifying. So for folks that may not understand this, so where would that investigation happen within the hospital? Is that a pharmacy only type of review of that data, or is it kind of multidisciplinary? What would you suggest?
So my background is in specialty and mail order pharmacy mostly.
Yep.
But I know that a lot of hospitals will have like medication safety officers that will implement medication error surveillance programs, and that could be a pharmacist running that, a nurse or another clinician, or even a non-clinician can be involved. So it really depends on if there's a quality and safety team, you know, who's in charge of that and running those programs.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and kind of to tie it all up, right? It's like let's make sure that and you touched on this a second ago. Let's have that just culture where, you know, the whole idea is to increase patient outcomes, adherence, making patients safer. You know, and to do that, we need to know what is causing harm. So, great advice, Jill. Anything? Is it kind of a parting word that you'd like to share with the audience today?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to share some resources. So if people want to learn more and do some research and find best practices, I've got four good resources for you to look up online. So one is the Institute for Safe Medication Practices, ISMP, and a lot of information around this topic. The Joint Commission has some information, the World Health Organization, WHO, and then the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, AHRQ.
Great. That's awesome. We appreciate so much. And this is such an important area for us to focus on. And it's great to have your expertise. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks.